from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, and then to end this edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo opens International Young Muslimah Forum. Government to provide incentive to develop export. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo opened the International Young Muslimah Forum held by the Fatayat Nahdlatul Ulama organization in Jakarta on Wednesday night. When delivering the opening remarks, he expressed his appreciation for the role of women in the journey of the Indonesian nation. Those in the working cabinet of President Joko Widodo, he positioned 9 women as ministers. The president said that the state also mentioned that in the acquisition of 31 gold medals in the 2018 Asian Games, 12 of which were presented by female athletes. He was amazed and proud of Indonesia's spider woman who quickly climbed the wall. The forum was attended by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, Minister of Religion Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, and Chairman of Fatayat Nahdlatul Ulama NU, Anggia Ermarini. Chairman Fatayat NU Anggia Ermarini said that the International Young Muslim Women Forum is a forum organized by Fatayat NU to improve the cooperative relation of Muslim women in the world. The activity that has taken place since October 25th to 28th is attended by 200 participants with 30 participants from abroad, including from Germany, the United States of America, Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, Iran, Hong Kong, and Azerbaijan. The government is going to provide incentive in a bid to develop the export performance so that the trade balance and current account balance deficit can be repressed. Minister of Trade Enggartias Tolukita said in Tangerang, Banten on Wednesday that based on President Jokowi's instruction, his side will hold a meeting in order to determine the kind of incentive to be given to develop export. This was stated by Minister Enggartias Tolukita when holding a press conference at the Trade Expo Indonesia 2018 at Indonesia Convention Exhibition PSD in Tangerang, Banten on Wednesday. In the inauguration of the Trade Expo Indonesia 2018, President Joko Widodo remarked that the government is arranging an incentive draft to boost the performance of export. He also explained that there are 2 major issues being faced, namely the deficit of trade balance and current account balance. In 2017, the deficit of current account balance reached 17.3 million. According to President, Indonesia's trade balance must always be improved by developing export and reducing import. Ministry of Tourism prepares fund worth 100 billion rupiah every month for Bali's normalization process post the eruption of Mount Agung some time ago. While 20 billion rupiah is oriented to Lombok for rehabilitation and trauma healing. Met after the program Tourism Friendly Journalism Movement in Jakarta on Wednesday, October 24, 2018, Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya said that Bali has entered the normalization stage. This could be seen from an international event that had been held recently in Bali.
Yang kalau Bali sudah normalisasi. Contoh paling mudah normalisasi dari international event.
If Bali is normal, the easiest example of normalization of international event is that only 12 to 14 of October, we already had an international event, IMF World Bank annual meeting. If the international event has taken place, that is the most visible sign of normalization. Lombok is now in the rehabilitation phase. Bali took time for 6 months. Lombok, I expect, is 3 months. Why it is 3 months? Because Bali got 3 months, the industry was not strong enough to be normal back. Salaries had to be spent, and so did all utilities. The water and electricity still had to be used. Based on that experience, I asked for help from all related ministries, institutions, and industries to do rehabilitation. Minister Arif Yahya further stated that the fund use was taken from the 2018 state budget and the 2019 state budget draft. He also explained that he did not want to take risk to guarantee 30 billion rupiah for the Bali normalization process and the rehabilitation of Lombok. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Yogyakarta Special Region is designated as an Asian cultural city. The determination was made on Wednesday on October 24th at Prambanan Temple Open Theatre, Yogyakarta. This determination is in line with Yogyakarta as the venue for the ministerial meeting in the 8th Asian Cultural Field and the Asian Senior Official Meeting in the 14th Asian Cultural Field. This biennial meeting is held on October 21st to 26, 2018. The establishment of the Asian Cultural City is a joint program of the Ministry of Culture of Asian countries, and the determination of the city changes every 2 years. Director General of Culture at the Ministry of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid, at the press conference on Wednesday said that Yogyakarta is the cultural city of Asia in 2018-2020, and Yogyakarta was chosen because it has prioritized culture of prevention.
Yogyakarta di dalam pertemuan juga dengan Pak Gubernur ya, si Sultan gitu, kita mendiskusikan.
Yogyakarta, in a meeting with the governor, the activities must involve culture of prevention. This must be developed. And for this matter, Jogja has already advanced. Culture of prevention is how to prevent bad things from happening, such as natural disasters. Later, activities to be prioritized are to strengthen the culture of prevention. Hilmar Farid further explained that before Yogyakarta, the city of Asian culture was Bandar Sri Begawan, Brunei Darussalam. Yogyakarta is the fifth city chosen as the city of culture. At the meeting, the delegates welcomed the determination. To mark this destination, Yogyakarta organized the Asian Art Festival on Wednesday, which features artists from Asian countries and three of its dialogue partners. This festival is an example of how Asian celebrates cultural diversity, uses culture to advance traditions and heritage, and fosters long-standing friendship between Asian countries and their dialogue partners. The Indonesian government initiates the formation of new economic centers in the world. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi explained in Jakarta on Wednesday that the spread of the new economic growth centers in the world would later encourage economic equality and at the same time improve world welfare. In regard to this, she views that the Indonesian government is promoting good communication between countries in the Pacific region and countries in the Indian Ocean coastal region. Minister Retno also remarked that good relations between the Pacific states and the Indian Ocean coast would improve not only world welfare, but also encourage the creation of inter-regional peace.
Dengan mengkonekkan antara Pacific dan Indian Ocean, yang kita harapkan adalah bahwa
by connecting between the Pacific and Indian Ocean, what we hope is that there will be new growth centers in the Indian Ocean rim. Because if there is a spread of new economic growth centers, this means that there will be an increase in terms of welfare. This will definitely be related to peace issues. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi further stated that in this regard, the Indonesian government is currently engaged in intensive communication, not only with the Pacific states and the Indian Ocean coast, but also with partner countries such as the United States, China, Russia, India, Australia, and Korea. In addition, she said that Indonesia also built communication with Asian countries in a bid to develop the concept. She emphasized that international cooperation is something that must be built compared to building competition among countries. Coordinating Ministry of Economic Affairs signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the Chambers of Commerce and Industry of Germany on the vocational partnership program in a bid to develop the human resources capacity as a part of economic distribution policy. Deputy of Creative Economy, Entrepreneurships and Competitiveness of Cooperative and Small Medium Enterprises Coordination Affairs, Rudy Salahuddin said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the program is aimed to train workers at workplace. The MOU of the Vocational Partnership Program was signed by Rudy and Chief Executive of Chambers of Commerce and Industry of Germany, Jan Groker. The program is a part of technical bilateral cooperation between the Indonesian and German governments funded by the Federal Republic of Germany. Rudy also explained that Central and East Java are chosen as the place to implement the program due to the extensive internship opportunity provided by the small-medium enterprises in two regions. International buyers attending the Trade Expo Indonesia 2018 appreciate the domestic products which they perceive very potential to be marketed in their countries. Buyer from Mexico, Angelisa Quinones Silvas, for example, complimented the quality of aesthetic products made in Indonesia that she thinks very potential to be sold in her country. After the signing of trade contract of the Trade Expo Indonesia 2018 in Tangerang, Banten on Wednesday, Angelisa feared that the Indonesian products are one of the best products in the world that deserve to be marketed globally, including in Mexico. Angelisa's appreciation was implemented in the signing of the trade contract with PT Biotakara for the buying of eyebrow extension worth $200,000. Meanwhile, buyer from Australia, Muhammad Nurdian Shah, also stated the similar thing. According to him, as the main supplier of rattan materials, Indonesian furniture products have higher competitiveness compared to the similar products of other countries. The Indonesian and Japanese governments agreed the MOU of the loan worth maximum of 70.210 billion yen, or equivalent to 10 trillion rupiah, for the second stage of MRT, or Mass Rapid Transit Railroad construction. The MOU of the loan was signed by Director General of Asia Pacific and Africa at the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia, Desra Percaya, and the Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia, Masafumi Ishii, in Jakarta on Wednesday. Ministry Counselor for Economic Affairs at the Japanese Embassy, Shigemi Ando, said that the loan is one of the efforts of the Japanese government to support the provision of reliable public transportation in Jakarta. Shigemi Ando also pointed out that the Indonesian government shows strong commitment to provide public transportation, proven by the development of the MRT construction projects on Jalan Tamrin and Sudirman, which almost finishes. The 40-year term loan since 2018, with 0.1% interest per year, is used to fund the MRT railroad construction project along 8 kilometers from Bundaran Hotel Indonesia Station in central Jakarta to Kampung Bandan Station in north Jakarta. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, today's topic is electricity must reach all communities. Fulfillment of electricity needs is highly dependent on the availability of energy needed so that the synergy of fossil energy use such as coal, natural gas and petroleum with renewable energy and new energy is increasingly important to ensure the sustainable growth of Indonesian electricity sector. Related to the National Electricity Day, October 27, Chairperson of Indonesian Electricity Society, Supankat Iwan Santoso, said that the sustainability of electricity sector is one of the main drivers of national economy and development. Currently, Indonesia's national electrification ratio only reaches 97.15%. Around 3% of electrification ratio needs to be pursued. This means that there are still around 7.5 million Indonesians who cannot enjoy electricity. Meanwhile, addressing the national electricity problem, the government of Indonesia is trying to push electricity prices to be affordable and evenly distributed throughout Indonesia. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonant, when opening the 73rd National Electricity Day program on Tuesday at the Power Gen Asia 2018 program, emphasized that electricity use must be evenly distributed at affordable prices. Since 2014, the government has made the infrastructure design run with the 35,000 megawatt project. This is aimed at reaching the national electricity equity, and the most important impact is the impact of national economic resurgence. Towards the end of 2018, the government will decide to postpone a number of 35,000 megawatt electricity projects. But this does not mean that the project is stopped nationally. Minister Chonan emphasized that the postponement of several projects that would originally carry out in 2019 to 2021 and even to 2026, because this is aimed at controlling imports in a bid to save the rupiah exchange rate against the unstable United States dollar. This postponement is a smart step to prioritize more macroeconomic matters so that the economic stability of development has been announced, the government can be fulfilled. What the government has done should also be supported by the private sectors. If the government cannot fulfill all of that, the private sectors need also to play their major role to address the shortcomings. Adequacy of electricity supply will ensure that industry continues to grow, harmonize between urban and remote areas, such as access to communication, better lighting and transportation, and to increase state revenues. But more importantly, electricity must be available to reach people who have not received electricity and are affordable for all of them throughout Indonesia. Well, listener, that was today. As you say, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on October 25, 1945. 6,000 troops of Ali from Division 49, led by Brigadier General Albertine Walter Southern Malabi, landed in Surabaya to disarm Japanese soldiers. General Malabi's forces were part of Allied forces of Netherlands East Indies, APNE. The Allied forces were dispatched to Indonesia after the Second World War finished to disarm the weapons of Japanese soldiers and to free prisoners of war of Japan. In addition, they were on duty to return Indonesia to the East Indies under the Dutch and the Netherlands Indies Civil Administration control. Malabi, who led his forces, entered Surabaya on October 25, 1945. The goal got resistance from Indonesian forces because APNE demanded them to hand over their weapons, which had been seized by Indonesian side first from Japan. Armed conflict happened between two forces. One of them occurred on October 30, 1945, near Merah Putih Bridge or Red Bridge, Surabaya. The fight killed General Malabi. The kill of General Malabi triggered the issuance of British ultimatum and the explosion at battle November 10, 1945, which was remembered as a hero day. And the next event is that in 1962, Nelson Mandela was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Nelson Mandela was a figure who was quite known throughout the world. He was warrior of the independence through anti-apartheid event and then became president of South Africa. Mandela persistently fought apartheid law, which made black people be the second-class citizens. He joined in the National Congress of Africa and along with Walter Sisulu and Oliver Tambo led his protest against apartheid. Because of his activity, which was anti-apartheid, he was sentenced several times in jail. On August 5, 1962, Mandela was arrested and jailed in Johannesburg Fort, and then October 25, 1962, he was sentenced 5 years in jail. And on June 12, 1964, he and other activist groups were sentenced to life in prison. In February 1990, Nelson Mandela was free from jail. And in 1993, along with President, declared he was awarded Peace Nobel. And the last event is that in 2010, earthquake in Mentawai Island killed 415 casualties. On October 25, 2010, earthquake with a magnitude 7.7 Richter scale occurred in Sumatra seashore, Indonesia. United States Geological Survey declared that the earthquake happened at the 9:42 local time (PM), around 240 kilometers of West Bengkulu, close to Mentawai Island. The U.S. Geological Survey also reported that the epicenter of the earthquake occurred in the depth of 206 kilometers. Based on Pacific Tsunami Warning Center, the earthquake caused tsunami as high as 3 until 10 meters, and at least 77 villages were destroyed, 415 people were killed, and 296 people missing. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about the release of birds and fish seed marks 2018 cultural performance. The release of about 50 kilograms of fish seed in the stream of Lamat Muntilan River, Magelang Regency, Central Java, and the various birds marks the peak of the 7th 2018 cultural performance organized by groups of local people on Saturday. One of the committees of the 7th cultural performance, Sutikno, explained that the release of these animals means that the local residents continue to pay attention to the importance to preserve the environment. He said that various fish seeds such as mujair fish and turtles were released by the local community, including the ranks of local sub-district leaders. Dozens of birds like kutilang, perkutu, and sulingan kampar were also released from the stream of the river close to the local residents of Pepe Village, Muntilan sub-district, Magelang Regency. In the series of 7 cultural performances that took place from 13 until 21st of October, the local residents of Pepe Village, Muntilan Subdistrict, Magelang Regency, carried out action Clean Lamat River, and a workshop with theme Babat Sedulur Ngalamat was attended by some speakers. In addition, there were also a drawing exposition, workshop of trash bank, kids play, traditional exhibition, educational and culinary exhibition. In the peak event during 20th and 21st of October 2018, art performance was held by some local groups and some schools in Muntilan. Besides that, mountain parade was also held and yellow rice was made from the local village to the square where a stage has been established to perform with dozens of exhibition booths. The cultural performance in Magelang Regency was pioneered by Muntilan Museum Mission 7 years ago. Sutikno explained that the annual agenda such as cultural performance is very important to support the spirit of the people's brotherhood in the area. Added that the performance, besides enhancing the local people's brotherhood, is aimed at uniting human beings with the world and the local area. The performance also builds spirit of ecological education, which is the most important circle of the children. The local community makes the Lamat River as meeting and learning place towards ecological awareness. The stream water of Lamat River flows from the foot of Mount Merapi, around 20 meters of East Muntilan, which is the biggest district in Magelang Regency. That was My Indonesia Today.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Presiden Joko Widodo opened the International Young Muslimah Forum held by the Fatayat Nahdlatul Ulama organization in Jakarta on Wednesday night. The government is going to provide incentive in a bid to develop the export performance so that the trade balance and current account balance deficit can be repressed. Coordinating Ministry of Economic Affairs signed a memorandum of understanding with the Chambers of Commerce and Industry of Germany on the Vocational Partnership Program in a bid to develop the human resources capacity as part of economic distribution policy. International buyers attending the Trade Expo Indonesia 2018 appreciates the domestic products which they perceive very potential to be marketed in their countries. The Indonesian and Japanese government agreed the MOU of the loan worth maximum 70.210 billion yen, or equivalent to 10 trillion rupiah, for the second stage of MRT railroad construction. Listener, that was Nusin Riva for Air Animal Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nyuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
I think the quality is good and the price is relatively cheap. Sometimes there are some crafts only sold here which are not available in Bandung. I think the quality is relatively good. There can be found any kinds of souvenir, gift, to be brought to other city or abroad. Yes, the price is affordable and the quality is good. Those are the recognition of most visitors at the Woven Craft Center in Rajapola. According to the visitors, typical woven of Rajapola has high quality with affordable price. However, there are unyielding spirit of Rajapola woven businessmen behind the visitors' admiration. Rajapola is a sub-district in Tasikmalaya region, Siwest Java, which is famous for its woven crafts. Split by the southern lane of Java Island, anyone can find the region easily. Moreover, there are shops displaying various forms of woven crafts along the street. Woven crafts is fiber that is said to form an object, such as basket, fan, bag, and even the wall of home. Weaving techniques and handicraft businesses are inherited through generations in Rajapola. Before selling to the shops along the street of Rajapola, the woven crafts are processed in the surrounding villages. Not far from the noisy Rajapola street, it is located the quiet Sukaruas Creative Village. It is only heard the sound of river flow, insects, friction of leaves, and vehicles that rarely passing. While the local residents are busy to run handicraft businesses in their homes respectively. Right across the welcoming board of Sukaruas Creative Village, we met Pak Asep, one of the woven craftsmen who lives there.
Turun temurun, ya mungkin dari kakek juga mungkin.
Hereditary, yes, it is from grandfather. Actually, there are from parents, colleagues in this village too. It was approximately 15 years ago from 2002, if I'm not wrong. Pak Asep's woven products are quite variety, starting from wallets, bags, basket, and others. Almost all of their products are sent to craft centers in various regions in Indonesia. The main material are usually used by Pak Asep, including pandanus and mendong. Pak Asep also shared about the production process of his crafts business, which is apparently done in group. They serve as patron maker until craftsmen. The weaving is brought to the house, so it cannot be made at the shop or crafts center. We sell handicrafts ranging from raw materials to finished crafts, consisting of five places. Firstly, we took raw materials from the sea. Then we make coloring. After that, it is brought back here. Then the material is delivered to homes to be processed into bags and brought here again. After that, we bring it to the craftsman who can make clothes, then given accessories. After that, the products can be sold. The point is that almost all manufacturing processes involve many people. Dozens of Pa'asep's woven products are made of pandanus and mendong leaves, made by dozens of pairs of hands of the craftsmen. One of the craftsmen is Pak Ojak. He admitted that his family had been long time running the profession as woven craftsmen. We also asked Pak Ojak to give an example of the weaving process. Before starting, Pak Ojak showed some of the simple equipment he usually used. The tool depends on the material of woven crafts. This is a wire for pulling. This is a hammer. It is to beat up so that it will be solid. This mold is made of wood. This is for bags and it depends on size. This is the smallest. Pak Ojak's wooden mold is very simple. 5 wooden plates are strung like a frame. The widest bar becomes the base. 2 more blades nailed to the 2 base ends of the mold becomes the side of the mold. Then the last 2 blades are mounted on the side edge becomes the top mold. 20 small nails are used at the top of the mold. Pak Ojak showing how to do a weaving process. At glance, the process is quite simple like sewing or knitting. His hand deftly guides dozens of meters of mendong wrapped around the mold. However, it's quite difficult for Pak Ojak to give an explanation while weaving. The process can take 3 hours. For those who are proficient, can do it only an hour. How many days do you usually make the bags? It depends on the condition, sometimes 5 or 6 days. Yes, it really needs to be painstaking. The concept of zero mistake, in another word, without any mistakes, is really applied to Rajapola woven crafts. If making one mistake, the craftsman must repeat the process from the beginning. Patience and accuracy become the key of maintaining Rajapola's unique woven quality. So, it's no wonder if the Rajapola woven is quite famous in the country, even abroad. After seeing the making process of woven crafts behind the stage, we returned to Rajapola Street to find out how Rajapola's typical woven cloth was appreciated. We met Ibu Popong, the owner of a woven crafts shop, who has been selling for 13 years at Rajapola Craft Promotion and Marketing Center. However, from Ibu Popong, we listened to a very different reality. Currently, purchasing power of the visitors decreased since the woven crafts are already available in the city centers. The craftsmen send it directly. So the visit to Rajapola has a little bit reduced. Some people still interesting to shop, but on one bus, only a few passengers buy the woven products. So we cannot expect a lot from the visitors. The southern line of Java Island, including Rajapola, was usually visited crowdly at certain moments, such as long holidays, Lebaran or New Year. Those are golden moments for the sellers in Rajapola to gain many buyers. However, according to Ibu Popong, the situation in the last few years cannot be expected.
Ada tanggal merah kan lumayan ya, Jumat Sabtu Minggu biasanya.
It's quite great on the weekends such as Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The situation has now different. Previously, the shop were crowded by many buyers on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but now weekday is better. The same opinion, also stated by Pak Asep. He said sales figures have dropped drastically.
Kalau sekarang ya mungkin udah banyak orang yang
in last 3 years we could sell 300 pieces in a week. Currently we have many competitors. 3,000 pieces can be sold in 2 weeks for once delivery. While previously we could send 3 times every week. Really, it has decreased now. The lower number of buyers at the craft center impacted at the lower income of businessmen, which has an impact on the income of the craftsmen. Our needs continue to run, but we do not have stock. That's the grief. We have no support for our daily need. The craftsmen look for other income to meet their need. Well, we are looking for other ways, although the income is uncertain. It is worrying enough that Rajapola is not as glorious in the past time. If it keeps happening, it is not only people's economy, but also Rajapola crafts can be extinct as the time goes by. But there is hope. The development infrastructure in many regions, including in Tasikmalaya, can be a golden opportunity. As stated by Head of Micro, Small, Medium Enterprises, Industry and Trade of Tasikmalaya City, Muhammad Firmansyah.
Karena kita juga sekarang punya bandara, Bandara Wiryadinata.
Since we now have Wiryadinata Airport, there is direct flight from Tasikmalaya to Halim Perdana Kusuma every day. Then it has also additional route from Tasikmalaya to Solo. We will see new access to Kertajati Airport development in Majalengka that will become an international airport. Next month, there will be operated to replace Hussein Airport and Halim Airport because the two airports have quite crowded. Since Kertajati Airport will be provided as an international airport, there will be road access that passes through Tasikmalaya. Besides international flights, there will also be opened domestic flights between Kertajati and Widyadinata Airport. We will found a marketing center and outlets. Besides conveying government's plan in the future, Firman said that so far the local people of Tasikmalaya, including Rajapola, can always find out solution. For example, during the economic crisis, they did not find difficulties to get the capital.
Ya, kita semua maklum tantangan terberat kita biasanya dari sisi permodalan kan. Tapi dari sisi permodalan, katanya saya akui saja untuk masyarakat Tasikmalaya ini kreatif dan masalah permodalan dia selalu bisa untuk
mencari. I admitted that Tasikmalaya community are very creative. For capital problems, they can find a way out. I can see they were not dependent on the capital. They were familiar with the crisis. And in the 1970s, during the economic crisis, it was not affected the community. We carry out the development of creative industries through superior products. And this is a utilization rather than an economic capability that may not depend on matters relating to fiscal policy at that time. Many companies went out of business. Many industries did not work because loan repayments are quite large. But the industry in Tasikmalaya continued to run, even able to support the regional economy. Independence seems to be character of people in Tasikmalaya, including businessmen of Rajapola woven crafts such as Eko Winarko, a reseller of bag woven crafts. Without having a store, he can get additional income every month.
Gak terbayang nggak gimana pesanan? Ada lah satu bulan sekali mah.
I cannot imagine how about the order. I've got an order once in a month. I have not met customers. I believe I met them by Facebook, social media. Then I called them. Then I sent the order amounted 30 million, 40 million. This is true. Ibu Popong also has similar experience like Eko Winarko. Lack of visitors must be anticipated by finding buyers through internet.
Sekarang juga dibantu sama online. Masih untung lah sekarang lagi
market via online can help us. Online market is currently trend among public. I also join Lazada, Tokopedia, Shopee online stores. I have also ever sent wallet to foreign countries such as Morocco. I also sent puppet woven craft to Germany. It was a lot purchasing. I sold every day in order to increase income. Grass and mandong are usually stamped on, or they were assumed as pest. But creative hands of Rajapola people, grass and mandong can be beneficial and even become breadwinner. The life of Rajapola people is like a woven. Every hope a slight thing never loses. The hope is woven with all your heart into a strong structure and resilient.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
This is Saturday World Service Voice of Indonesia with Music Corner, a segment which presents you about Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present you about pop nostalgic songs from some of the boy bands in Indonesia, which were famous in the 1990s. To initiate our segment, let's listen to a song entitled Tataplah. Enjoy listening and stay tuned.
Jangan lupa like,
Listeners, you have just listened to Tataplah by Cool Colors. Cool Colors members are male models consisting of The Kurian, Ari Sihasale, and Surya Saputra. Through the song Tataplah, Cool Colors began to be famous in public. The song, released in 1996, tells about a man who does not want to be left anymore by his lover. He wants his lover to keep beholding his eyes because he believes that her eyes will reflect the sincerity of love that will never end. Listeners, we will listen to the next song by one of the Indonesian boy bands being famous in the 1990s, entitled Katakanlah. Enjoy the song. Listeners, it was Katakanlah by Cowboy. Ever since the band was formed in 1991, Cowboy started being popular since their primary single, entitled Katakanlah, was released. The song tells about a man who wants his lover to express her worry. However, the man also convinces his lover that she should not be worried because he has sincere affection and love for her. In accordance to the title of the song, the name Cowboy stands for Cover Boy because of the members in this boy band are cover boys from Teenage Magazine. They are Ali Mustafa, Gilbert Patiruhu, Ferry, and Poncho Buono. Next, we will listen to a song entitled Inika Cinta. Enjoy the song. Just listen to Inika Cinta by a boy band called ME. ME is an abbreviation of Sundanese language, which means embung eleh, or someone who does not want to give up easily. The boy band, which was formed in 1997, has five members, including Denny Sabah, Didan Fitra Sakti, Irawan Mirza, Ferry Iskandar, and Widi Cipto Utomo. ME achieved their peak of popularity through a song entitled Inika Cinta, released in 1998. The song depicts a man who is falling in love with someone, and the man is longing for happiness and moments that he can spend with the person he loves. Listeners, that was Music Corner. To wrap up our program, let's listen to a song entitled Bintang Bulan Matahariku. The song was sung by a boy band named Weeby, formed in 1996. See you on our next edition.
Oh bintang, oh bulan, matahariku, terangilah cintaku, abadi selalu.
Menatap si kasihmu, akankah cinta tak akan pernah berakhir?
Hasratku selalu berharap dirimu kasih untuk selamanya.
Walau hatiku selalu yakin akan cintamu,
cintamu.
Aku akan menjaga utuhnya cinta kita berdua.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.